I guess here's what I'm looking at, though, and usually the end game of these negotiations is defined more by splits within the sides themselves rather than between the two sides. And we're hearing that the big market owners of Buss, Reinsdorf, Dolan, those guys want basketball. They're ready to play. The smaller markets who would benefit from sort of this soft cap of luxury taxing, revenue sharing, would be willing to go to the mattresses a little bit longer. And similarly with the players, that there could be some distances between hardliners and the, I don't know about all that, just want to play basketball, rank and file. Are you noticing any of those fissures, no pun intended, at this point in the negotiation?
That's a very good pun, by the way. I think certainly with the owners, they've kept it covered up. They're speaking with one voice. That voice is David Stern's voice. One and a half, maybe, because Adam Silver speaks for the owners as well. But and they said, look, we're all united on this. But look, Jerry Buss doesn't want to lose a season. There's no way. And neither does Jerry Reinsdorf, and neither does Tim Dolan, and neither does Mickey Harrison. Maybe Ted Leone, since he just bought the Wizards, and you know, he went to the NHL lockout. He might be a guy up in the room saying, hey, if we shut down for a year, guys, we're gonna have a hell of a business model for the next 8, 9, 10 years. But you know what you forget there is, what kind of damage do you do to your sport by taking an entire season off? When the NHL did that, they became irrelevant. They lost their ESPN deal. They went on to Versus. They became really a niche sport, and you know, the entire nation of Canada made Gary Bettman public enemy number one. There was really a lot of collateral damage there for as good of a deal as the owners got. And again, I don't think the NBA is in any kind of a bad spot like the NHL was, and that's why reason's going to prevail at a certain point over the course of this weekend. I'm sure there'll be more doomsday talk, and they're going to amp it up to an 11 at some point. But again, there's too much to be gained by making a deal, having an all-is-forgiven 2-week blast of free agent signings at training camp, and then carrying that kind of little burst of momentum right into the November 1st opener of the regular season.
So as we get ready to let you go, you don't think they're, is it safe to say, I don't know if it's a gut feeling or just common sense, or you know all these things, that we won't miss a single regular season game of this season, and your gut feeling would be, maybe gut feeling is not the right word, but not a single game of the regular season will be lost.
Yeah, that's my prediction. They're going to settle this thing in the next few days, probably Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, and we're going to not miss any games. That's my prediction. I feel very, very strongly about it. I wouldn't say it's 100% certainty, but I feel very, very strongly about it. I've talked to people on both sides, important people. I know both sides have an end game. We just haven't gotten to the end game yet, but we're close.
Do you think that it's been handled cordially? Because we heard stories during the NBA discussions that they had to get the firebrands out of the room. They had to get some of the more truculent lawyers pushed to the sidelines just because of the manner in which the negotiations were conducted. Do you think that the actual tone, from what you're hearing of how it's actually going on, where the rubber meets the road, that it's grown-ups talking to grown-ups?
From what I've been hearing, the angriest man in the room is always David Stern. But David, you know, David talks a lot differently in private than when he's up on camera. And, you know, he's got a bit of a mean streak to him. But then there's a guy on the player side, Jeffrey Kessler, their main lawyer, no pun intended there either. He was also the main lawyer for the NFL players during their lockout this summer. He's particularly abrasive, shall I say. And the people on the league side don't particularly like dealing with Jeffrey Kessler. But as far as the other major players, you know, back in 1998, it was all David Falk's clients running the union. Patrick Ewing was the president, and Dikembe was on that committee, and Juwan Howard was on that committee, and it was a real high echelon level of players that were running the union. The guys running the union now are a little more moderate in terms of both talent and salary. You got Derek Fisher, who was the union president. Maurice Evans was the first vice president. Most people couldn't even tell you that Maurice Evans was in the NBA. Deion Dooling's on the executive committee. Theo Ratliff. These are not the only max salary guy on the whole players executive committee is Chris Paul, and he's not really a fiery guy. So that being said, I think when they have a meeting like the one they're having upstairs today, where they have 50 guys in the room, anybody could speak up, and it could turn heated very quickly. And nothing really ever gets accomplished at these big group meetings. It's more when they break into small groups with 3 or 4 guys from each side, where they start talking concepts and saying, well, we would do this if you would do this. What do you think of that? that's where the real progress is made. And so I don't expect today's Friday for any kind of positive news to come out. I think the players will come down and try to present the unified front. They've got LeBron James up there today. Dwayne Wade is here. Carmelo Anthony is here. They've got everything all set up for a photo op. So I think they're going to try to present the united strong front and say we're standing firm. But the truth of the matter is they've been given all summer in these negotiations, and they're going to have to give a little bit more on, again, the percentage of the money in order for there to be a deal getting done. That being said, the players, or the owners rather, have been very rigid in the percentage that they're asking for. They started these negotiations by saying, yeah, you've been getting 50%, 57% for the past several years. Now we want 57%, and we'll give you 43. And then they've been moving at a real glacial pace away from that, and they're not even yet at 50-50. But I think everybody's starting to see that 50-50 is probably the owner's end game, and 52-48 is probably the player's end game, again, in terms of the revenue percentage split. And somewhere in there, 51-49, it's probably, I think, with the leverage the owners have, maybe closer to 50-50 is where the deal is going to be made. But again, there's still time to make a deal and save the regular season, and it is the 11th hour. So, and these are reasonable men. They have a league to run. They don't run. They're not in the business of lockouts. They're in the business of basketball. And you're eventually going to get a deal, whether you do it a year from now, a month from now, 6 months from now, whenever. You're going to get a deal. But the optimal time to get a deal done is now, in the next 3-4 days.
Chris, I know we've been chasing you a while. I know you're out of the country. We really appreciate you picking up the phone for us today. And I kind of like the idea, by the way, the way things are going, Patrick Ewing as president. Not of just Patrick Ewing as president.
Not of the union.
No,
president.
Just president.
Kind of like it. Patrick wants to get a coaching job before he gets into politics, so I'll let Patrick take that one step at a time.
Thanks, Chris.
We appreciate it, my friend.
All right, thanks, Janitor.